In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What do you make of those strangely worded verses at the end of the epistle reading? The part about Jesus coming in water and blood, and the Spirit and water and blood testifying to him. What's up with that? Blood is something you are familiar with. We talked about blood extensively on Maundy Thursday. The pulse you feel in your body is your blood coursing through your arteries. It's the rhythm of life. It's the first music we hear. But you cut your finger or you scrape your knee and there's blood, and that's not a good thing. Some people are freaked out at the sight of blood. Medical sociologists studied what makes people go to see a doctor. When do you decide that you're so sick you need a physician? People will endure a lot of pain and coughing and dizziness and swelling and other symptoms without seeking medical attention. But when they see blood where they shouldn't see blood, that is usually what sends them running to the doctor. Water is also something you are familiar with. We talked about water before, too. Water, of course, is the main component of blood. A human being can live 3 weeks without food, but only about 3 days without water. Water is essential to human life. Our body has this interesting mechanism to let us know when we are not hydrated enough. It's called thirst. Ever notice that when you're really thirsty, sports drinks and colas and such just don't quench your thirst the way plain, pure water does? You recall that from the cross, Jesus said, "I thirst." When he said, "I thirst," he was showing his solidarity with people all over the earth who hunger and thirst for food and water. Jesus was also expressing the universal spiritual thirst that we all have for justice and righteousness and for peace with God. Water has other uses as well. We use it for cleaning. Isn't it amazing that the water that we use has such a power as a solvent, as a cleansing agent, removing dirt and grime, yet water is gentle enough that we can bathe in it without dissolving our skin? Water puts out fires, too. Imagine if only diamonds put out fires. The world would have been consumed by fire a long time ago. We take water for granted because it is such a common thing, but it is really an amazing thing. We might have some familiarity with the word spirit, but what we know might be kind of vague and hard to express. We talk about things like school spirit, the communal feeling we have, sharing a commitment and loyalty. We might even say love for that institution that was our alma mater, our other mother. Perhaps school spirit is most evident at a pep rally where people cheer and chant and dance. It's similar also that in a way that we call a lively person or an active animal, such as a horse at the Kentucky Derby, that is active, we say that they are spirited. Spirited has another meaning as well. We all recognize that there is something much more to us than just our physical bodies. Human thought and consciousness are more than just a biochemical reaction in our brains. There is something deep inside of us where our thoughts and our emotions and our sensations interact, and we call that our spirit. Would you agree with me that our interior spirit is more who we really are than what the world sees of us? Inside of each of us is a me nobody knows but God. The God who knows us and loves us came into the world in the person of Jesus Christ. The earthly story of Jesus begins, as all of our stories begin, with his birth. I've been present at a couple births, and as some of you know very well, human birth occurs amidst blood and water. Isn't it incredible that the Son of God, the King of the universe, was born just like any other human baby? Jesus is truly one of us. Many false teaching and heresies begin when people forget that Jesus is not only wholly divine, he is also 100% human. Jesus was born in water and blood, and water and blood were there at his death and well. Shortly after Jesus died, one of the Roman soldiers pierced his side with a sword to make sure that Jesus was dead. Scripture tells us that when Jesus was pierced by the spear that way, out came blood and water. Technically, as we said during our Holy Week services, forensic pathologists tell us that Jesus' cause of death may have been coronary rupture, literally his heart ripping in two. And when that happened, there would be both blood and water in his pericardium. It would be natural for blood and water to gush out from such a wound. But the blood and the water flowing from Jesus' riven side has much more meaning than just the physical. Jesus' death and resurrection give us eternal life. The water pouring from his side reminds us of holy baptism. We said how water is necessary for physical life. The water of holy baptism is ordinary water, but made extraordinary by the word of God. It is the very purest water. Baptism is our initiation into the life of the church, the life of Christ. Baptism washes us clean of the stain of original sin and promises us everlasting life, putting out the fire of sin in our souls. Each day we turn again and again to the grace offered us in baptism, slaking and assuaging our thirst for the righteousness of God. Paradoxically, it's being drowned in the waters of holy baptism that gives us everlasting life. The blood from Jesus' side reminds us of the Holy Communion. Although we have been baptized, we sin and fall away from God again and again. We must repent. We must turn back to God, the great physician of our souls. The Holy Communion gives us Jesus' body and blood as food and drink. It is the sign and pledge that our sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake. We might say that Jesus' blood is transfused into us to give us life when we are dying from sin. Jesus' blood pulses through the Christian veins. He tells us that we are his body on earth. Implicit in these sacraments of holy baptism and the Lord's Supper is the Holy Spirit. The language of the New Testament, Koine Greek, the word for spirit and breath are the same word, pneuma. We said that you can live about 3 days without water. You can only live about 3 minutes without air to breathe. The Holy Spirit, God's breath, gives us life. The Holy Spirit touches us at the level of our spirits, in our secret innermost being. He resuscitates us and makes us lively and active for the cause of Christ. The Spirit builds up in us loyalty, commitment, and love for the Church of Christ, which is our true mother. Wouldn't it be great if our Sunday morning gatherings had more of the same spirit of a high school pep rally, with spirited people loudly glorifying, praising, and singing God? In the Eucharist, we pray to God the Father to send God the Holy Spirit so that God the Son may be truly present for us in the communion elements. In holy baptism, through water and the word, the Holy Spirit is given to us, and we are made at one with God. Water, blood, and spirit all go together. Together they testify to Christ that he is our Savior and our Redeemer. We need the sacraments. We need the Holy Spirit. We need them regularly if we are to be and remain the people of God. I saw something recently on my Facebook feed that said there were many professing Christians who were not saved. What? That's ridiculous. Unless the person's profession of faith is a lie, if the person is a hypocrite, then, well, okay. But all who call on the name of the Lord are saved because God loves us so much. He gives us baptism as the once and for all concrete event that we can look back on when we wonder, am I saved? Peter's first epistle says, baptism now saves you. It is certainly not our good works, not even the strength of our commitment either, that saves us. It's Christ alone. I have known people who say that they trust in Jesus, and then later they wonder, was my confession sincere enough? Was it everything that it should be? Maybe I really didn't mean it. So they feel that they need to go through another emotional confession of faith. And then that cycle just keeps turning of faith and doubt, faith and doubt. Some people even get baptized multiple times. That's unnecessary and unscriptural. Our confidence in Christ's saving power, that's where our salvation comes from. And Christ is not fickle in his attitude toward us as we are sometimes to him. Jesus can be trusted to save us just as he said he would. God has blessed us with these gifts, the water, the blood, and the Spirit. Let us be joyful and rejoice and give thanks. Amen.